I want to add my Happy New Year's to everybody else's. For Molly and I, who've been away for so long now, it seems, we're just so glad to be back with the family of God here in Bognor and Grace Church. Lots has happened since we've been away. You burnt down the fish and chip shop just round the corner. Look at that. I don't know. We can't leave you, can we, to behave yourselves? But it's great to be back. And we've got such a lot to share, both myself and Molly and also others this morning. And it's really great to have this time where we can just relax a bit and share testimony of all the good things that God has done for us. A verse that stuck with me over this Christmas is a very well-known Christmas verse from Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Praise God. On us, a light has dawned. And we're going to just share with you, a number of us, I think about six of us, are going to share with you how the light has dawned into our lives and what God has done for us. And I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to share a little bit of testimony about our trip to India. I promise you I won't go on too long. I only have 1,093 pictures to show you all eventually. So beware, don't ask us to come back for a meal at any time with our pictures, or else we'll lodge with you for a whole week. But our trip to India was totally overwhelming. The way that God provided, as you well know, and your part in that, we praise God and thank God. It's taught us how to fly decently in future. we were overwhelmed by the love and welcome of the Indian churches and the Christians there, totally overwhelmed by their welcome and the love they showered on us. And the fact of meeting up with many old friends, some we hadn't seen for 25 years, some we'd seen on and off a bit, and to make many, many new friends with most amazing stories of the things that God has done in their lives. And again, we don't have time to share that. It was a privilege to see these people who we knew 25 years ago as young people, teenagers, early 20s, some single, some married, now mature men and women of God, leading churches, planting churches, doing great things for God, and with amazing stories that they shared with us. You can imagine how exciting that was to see their heart for mission. You know, I grew up thinking of India as the mission field. Now India are the missionaries going out and doing great things, church planting, and, you know, to see some young guys, well, Indians have this wonderful thing that they always look young, however old they get. You know, these young guys, and I don't know how old he was, said, oh, I just look after 10 churches and joining New Frontiers, or Commission, as it's now called, and with 10 churches behind him, swelling their numbers. And come on, Commission UK, pull up your socks. There are more Commission churches in India now than there are in the UK. So we've got to catch up with that, haven't we? There's no rivalry, of course. It was a privilege and a challenge to live in such a diverse, multi-faith, multi-religion, multicultural society where they are really in the minority, and in some places it's very difficult for them to live as Christians, and yet to see their faith, their joy in the Holy Spirit, their fervor, and the way they stand firm for Jesus. And it was a privilege, of course, to receive and learn from their hospitality, the way they welcome, the way they have family life, their togetherness, their care, their sharing. Always a challenge when you visit India, or have Indians visit you. And I know Molly and I have come back stirred up again. We've got to be like that. We can learn from our brothers and sisters in India these things. Wow, what a trip it was. We were able to visit six cities, 10 different churches, church groups. We went to this leaders' conference of all the leaders from the New Frontiers, Commission churches, all met together for 5-6 days. Visit the Krupa work, our granny's work in Nasik, which was very lovely. Able to speak, sometimes with not a lot of notice ahead, but it was great. Really keeps you on your knees and stops you waffling. Well, I don't know, I waffled probably more, I don't know. But 4 Sunday services I was able to speak to in English and Hindi, not I speak Hindi, but they were all translated. And those Hindi churches where you can't understand a word that's going on, but you feel the presence and the power of God and you feel the vitality, and it was just so exciting. Also a couple of marriage seminars, prayer meetings, and a seniors group. I don't know why they asked me to do the seniors group, but that was good anyway. We enjoyed that. I could go on. I want to sum it up with a story. I want to sum it up. The light and life of those Christians in India is just amazing. The way they live and the way they shine the light of Jesus as against the desperate need of this nation with millions and millions of people outside of Jesus, who are trying to find God in various ways. And it's a story told by a fellow who works with the UP mission, that's Uttar Pradesh mission, right up in the North India, a very Hindu area where the Christians are really in the minority and therefore really against it in many ways, up against it in many ways. And this missionary was in a place called Varanasi, a holy city of Varanasi along the river Ganges. You know, there's seven, they call them holy cities in India, where you go to pray to the gods, sacrifice. You wash your sins away in the rivers, which they consider to be holy. And Varanasi is probably the big one, the center of it. And this missionary went up there, obviously, to do some outreach work, an Indian missionary. And he noticed a couple standing by the Ganges crying. I hope I can tell the story. And as they were crying, he went up to them and he said, "What's wrong? Why are you crying? What's happened?" And they said, "Well, we have two young daughters and we long for a son. And we went to a holy man along the river and he said to us, if you sacrifice your two daughters to the gods, God will give you a son." "No, don't do that," he said. "Don't do that," he said. "Jesus forgives your sins and cleanses you. Jesus will answer your prayers. God will come and give you the child you long for. Let me pray with you." And they continued crying. And he said to them, "Why are you still crying?" And they said, "If only you had told us that 5 minutes ago." You know, that story stuck with me. We heard that at the beginning of our trip. Stuck with us. And I was given a couple of little video clips, which I won't have time to show you, but one of them says, "We see them in millions, desperately seeking God in so many different ways. God sees them one by one." And we see the millions of India, but God sees them one by one. And he sees that couple crying, having sacrificed their daughters when they could have heard the good news of Jesus. And that stuck with me, and I want to pick it up a bit later. And then someone else has said, "The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time." For this couple, it didn't get there in time. I don't know what the outcome was, whether they responded to the good news afterwards. But the gospel is only good news. Let that stick with us for this year. It's only good news to people if it gets there in time. And we've got to make sure we get it there in time to those that we live amongst. Just going to pray, and then we're going to go on to some other testimonies. Father, Molly and I want to say thank you for a most amazing, overwhelming trip to India. There's so much we could say, so many stories we could share, so many pictures we could look at. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in that great nation, those that are living for you, sometimes in hard places, isolated places, difficult places, those that are standing for you against great odds. Will you bless them today, Lord? Bless the work that's being done. Bless people like the UP mission and the different commissioned churches that are standing for you. And we ask you to bless them this new year, Lord. Will you encourage them? And Molly and I want to say thank you for the privilege. And I pray that we'll learn those lessons, as each one of us will, that we can get from our brothers and sisters in these lands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we look forward now to Harmony's testimony. Harmony, come on. Yes, you're first. Look at that. Give her a clap. No.
Okay. Hello, good morning. I hope you've all had a joyful Christmas, as I have just. I've just celebrated my second Christmas ever Now I'm free from the teachings of the JWs. How good, how wonderful it feels to be set free in Christ Jesus. To be free to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. What a joyful occasion. Last year was nice and a new experience, but this year I felt that Merry Christmas spirit, which previously, when people spoke about it, I would think, yuck, what nonsense. I'm not having any of that. And I would just hide away. But now, now I've let it penetrate my soul. And yeah, I just feel really happy to be, do you know what, I'm just saying it all wrong because I'm so nervous. I'm so sorry. I hate talking in front of people.
No, these notes are really good.
When I came to Grace in 2015, I had just stepped onto the path of following Jesus. Coming to Grace, I learned more than I could ever imagine. The truth really does set you free. Jesus does actually reconcile us with our Heavenly Father. Having a close, loving, open, honest relationship with my Father in heaven is so comforting. It's beyond words and spiritually nourishing. Being in Christ is amazing. God does actually reveal himself if we dare to stop and listen and wait on him patiently. God used my knee injury so I could stop and listen. God used this time to put me back together. He made all my sorrows and all my troubles into something good. Romans 8:28 says, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Realising who I am in Christ has changed everything for me. I am now free to love my enemies and use my freedom to serve God and others out of love and gratitude, not fear or obligation. I rejoice that it was for freedom Christ shone his light on me. Hebrews 11:6 says, he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I have been rewarded with a place at Grace Church and a member of Christ's body. Such an honour, such a blessing. Thank you, Grace, and thank you, Lord. All this is possible through the Freedom in Christ course, which Grace runs twice a year.
Give her a big clap. Isn't it great to have Harmony as part of our church family? Father, I just want to thank you for Harmony. Thank you for what you've done new for her in this year, Lord. Thank you that the light of your love, that light of the freedom of the gospel has surely shone upon her, Lord, and you have brought her into a new spacious place. Thank you, Lord, you've got plans for a good and not for evil to give her a future and a hope, Lord. And we want to say thank you for that, Lord. Will you bless Harmony? Let this new year, 2017, be an even greater year because you are the God of the so much more who can do more, far more than we dare ask or imagine. So will you do that? We pray for Harmony this year in Jesus' name. Blessed we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we've got two strangers that not many of you will know so much, perhaps, but they're going to share with you from their testimony. Let me introduce you to this delightful young couple, Johnny and Kim. Oh.
Cheers, John. Good morning. I'm pretty sure you're probably sick of me this morning. So I'm Johnny. This is Kim, my wife. And so what we just wanted and felt that we wanted to share with you was just a testimony about God's provision. It's not really about us, but it's more about what God can do and what God has done in our lives. And for us, it all started at West Point. We heard that fantastic and really quite poignant talk by Phil Moore about just being all in. And it was during this talk that we just felt God speak to both of us. And it was a similar thing that we were talking about. So I'm going to pass over to Kim and she'll talk about it.
Bit of a tag team just because I was like, I don't want to do it. Phil Moore spoke about giving till you feel physically sick. I don't know if any of you there remembered that. We were just so challenged by that. And that was a feeling that Johnny and I have never had when we've ever given money before to the church. through that, we just felt really challenged. And I just wanted to just say that we're not saying this because we want to boast about the fact that we gave anything. It's not about that. For us, it was just that God, it was just God spoke to us. And it was more the aftermath that actually it was a spiritual and emotional process we went through to really trust God to be able to provide our every need and for him to change our hearts. So after we decided, after West Point and what Fillmore spoke about, and deciding to kind of faithfully step out in something, we went through a journey of all sorts of different emotions, excitement that we felt God speak to us and we did something. Then we went through a process of doubting that we'd ever heard God in the first place, thinking, did we make this up? And then thinking we made a big mistake. Actually, what the hell were we doing? Why did we do that? And then kind of jumping back up and feeling, yeah, we did something. Yeah, God spoke to us and we acted. And then going back down and thinking, well, God, actually, if we did this, maybe God will give it all back to us. Yeah, because that's how God works. If, you know, maybe God will bless us with it all back. But yeah, so it was an up and down. And actually, it was a big faith testing time for us. And we saw our faith go up and down on several occasions. For many months.
Back to me. So since then, we've just seen God bless us, and it's been a real privilege to see God work. And it's been a lot of through what people in Grace Church have done. It's certain people, it's through the leadership. And what we have learned is that God is a good, good God. And he really can provide for every single one of our needs. And it was when we got to that point that it really hit home. And really gave us a peace about what we had done. And we think in our heads, oh, I'm going to give, and yeah, that's it. But actually, we can't outgive God. We cannot outgive God. And we thought after West Point, right, God, how are you going to bless us? So sort of what Kim mentioned earlier, that, oh, we've given, so come on, give it back, come on. But that's not how it works. And that was the wrong attitude. And it was never, ever about us. It was never about us at all. And he really brought us to a place of humility and actually a real dependence upon him, upon not on finances, not on people, but actually on him. And that was where he brought us to.
So last year, we saw God bless us massively. After we had Zipporah, we had several people come and cook us meals. It was amazing. We've had people give up their time to come and help look after our children. We've had people give us money gifts. It's been amazing. And we've had people come in our house, people in this church come and fix broken things in our home. So we just want to thank our church and the people in it. You've blessed us massively. And we just want to say it was never about anything we did. Although we might have stepped out in an act of faith at West Point, God has gone far. And beyond our imagination in showing us that he is a good God and will provide our every need in so many different ways.
So just as a couple, we want to just say thank you publicly to you as a church. Say thank you for how you've provided for us and how you've blessed us. But also just publicly thank God for how he's provided and blessed us as well. Yeah, and he is good and he's not going to stop there. He'll always continue. Ongoing provision for all of our lives, not just us. And it will, yeah, thanks.
Let me pray for this dear couple. Father, we want to thank you for Johnny and Kim. We thank you for giving them into our church family. And Lord, we thank you for the family of God. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for the way you've brought them on this journey. It was painful at times, difficult at times, ups and downs at times. And yet, Lord, you've brought them out triumphant, having learned not only more about you, but more about being part of the family of God. So, Lord, we pray for 2017. We pray you'll continue to bless them. Bless this journey, this young couple moving on with you, Lord, establishing a home. Let their home be a center of light and peace, be a place where many people will come to know you. Bless their two little girls, Lord. May they grow up as young women of God that would do great exploits for you, Lord. And we just want to say again, thank you for the family of God. Let's not forget this, Lord, that together we can do so much more than we can apart, Lord. And so we just want to ask you to bless them now in Jesus' name. Do them good, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's great, isn't it? It's so encouraging, isn't it, to hear these stories of what God is doing. You know, we all walk around, we look happy, we look miserable, we do all sorts of things, but we don't know what's going on in people's lives, do we? And this sort of opportunity of people just being honest and sharing is such a blessing. Well, the next person we've got is Catherine Bishop. Here we are.
I've got just two testimonies, really. One is a personal one to me, and the other one is based on Little Bears. So the personal one is when I was, obviously it's my fourth pregnancy now, but when I was pregnant with Miri, I started getting pelvic pain from about my third trimester, week 26, and it would be on and off, whenever I did housework or if I walked pushing the pushchair with the two girls or whatever. And yeah, so the pelvic pain was on and off for the whole last trimester until I had Miri. And then obviously it disappeared and it was fine again. And then so when it kicked off again this pregnancy in my about week 24, I was like, oh, here we go again. And it was worse this time, obviously, fourth pregnancy, all the ligaments are looser and everything. And I had a particularly bad week where it was just after I did all my housework. So normally I'd do half an hour, I'd have to sit down because it was too painful. But so this week it just carried on right through to the weekend. And it was just, yeah, becoming frustrating because I couldn't do normal tasks. So I asked a couple of people just off the cuff to say, oh, could you pray for me? My parents prayed. And then Lois, Darren's wife, happened to text and say, is there anything I can pray for you on the Sunday? And I just said, oh, yeah, my pelvis has been achy as usual. Didn't think anything of it. And then Monday, I did my housework. I was thinking, this is strange, it's not hurting. And then did all my other chores that I don't normally do because I have to wait till Tuesday till the pain ceased. And still no pain on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, nothing. Even when I was pushing the pushchair with three girls on it and just nothing. And ever since then, I've not had any pelvic pain at all. Occasional backache just from it being heavy. But yes, my pelvis is completely healed. And it's just so amazing to have your body back. So I've got 9 weeks to go. And yeah, so that's really encouraging that I have a real healing from that. So my other testimony is just on Little Bears. So many of you know that I lead a great team who we run Little Bears, the toddler group, every Thursday. Just a bit of background, we started on the 7th of November in 2013. And that happened as a result of, I used to go to a little group there that was run by Kingsgate. And in the summer before that, they told me that they were going to fold the group because it was becoming too much and everything. And I just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me at that time to take on the group. And I was thinking, this is ridiculous because, you know, I'm not a particularly baby-orientated person. Although I've got three. yeah, toddlers isn't really my thing. It's more the sort of the women and everything. And I was thinking, oh, God, do you really want me to take on this group? So I prayed about it and I spoke to the leaders over the summer and really felt that it was the right thing to take on. So we carried it. We started in November and just started with, so we had Barbara and Bill, Sylvie, Sam, Catherine Kimbangi, and at that time Val, all on the team helping out. And it just started small. We had a very small building, so we had 5 to 20 children with their parents and carers, and we'd just have a little structure of craft and a song time at the end, a bit like we do now. And so it grew somewhat. We had people coming regularly, and we had a few new people every now and again, and we had some of the faithful mums here who started coming, Kim and Becky, when they had their children, and Mel and others. And yeah, but it didn't really seem to do anything. It just, you know, for 2 years, it was just, we were plodding on. And at times I was thinking, why are we doing this? You know, week in, week out, going down there, setting up, doing all the hard work and not really seeing any fruit. And it was just felt a bit frustrating. I was thinking, God, do you really just want me to carry this on? Because I think when I took it on, I originally thought, oh, I'll do it for a year or two and then, you know, I'll probably have another child and I'll give it up or someone else will take it on. But just throughout it, I just felt God just keep saying, you know, just keep going. So we did. But then it got to the stage where I really felt that we were starting to push the boundaries of the building, just wasn't facilitating what we needed to do. So we started to investigate other buildings and venues, but the dates, the times, the cost of it was just all quite overwhelming. Didn't seem to be much in Bognor. But then as a church, we started to use the Phoenix Centre, and Darren happened to mention to them about us possibly using it, and they basically leapt on us and wanted us to use the building because it had a community use. So we began meeting at the Phoenix Centre on the 14th of April, and it was just so God's timing, because obviously we had the fun day on the 30th of April, so we could get, you know, settled in there. And then when the fun day came, we could, you know, send out all the leaflets and advertise us as a toddler group. And just since then, it's just grown steadily. And so we get between 20 to 43 children and their parents and carers. So sometimes there's 77 people in that building. And we've got such a faithful team now. So we have Sam Scott with Heidi in the kitchen. Heidi is a lady who got saved on the fun day. And so she's come along because she can't come on a Sunday, but she gets stuck into Little Bears every week, and she's getting to know us as a church through Little Bears. Bill's brilliant on setup. He goes Wednesday evening, sometimes till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, just setting up ready for the next day and clearing up and being Father Christmas. And Sylvie's just a solid little rock, just setting up, clearing up, doing all the chores. Got Mel Charlton, who's just gone out, but she does all the setup as well and the craft with Jenny Sampson. Barbara, who looks after my children, so I can get on with welcoming people, and she's just a really great friendly face. And of course, we've got all the mothers there, so Kim and Becky and Catherine, Kim Bangy and Mel, and they just get to know people and demonstrate Jesus' love and who we are as a church, so people actually see the church in action. And then we've got others who just help and add flavour. So we've got Mary Nation coming along, Giselle, Leah, Isabella, and Dana, and just so many of you have just been. I've just been so grateful for your support and love. And like I say, it's times early on when it's felt like a bit of a chore and an effort, and I've wondered why we've done it, but God's been so faithful in just building up everything, building up the team. So we work well together as a team. We pray together every week. We just trust God, and just we're just seeing fruit now. There's mothers who have started, they've done the Alpha course. There's some that have been coming to church. You might have noticed them. They're not here today, so I can say that. But it's just been so great to see people just starting to investigate and wondering who this Jesus is, who we are as Grace Church. And it's going to be a long process. And God works that way, doesn't he? But it is just knowing that it's all in his hands, and it's not my group, it's not any of our groups, it's God's group. And he loves us, he loves Grace Church, he loves Little Bears. And just the work that he's doing amongst the mothers and stirring hearts, it's just really encouraging for me now to see that after 3 years, there's fruit coming, and just keep going, keep persevering. And just want to thank God for us being able to see the fruit. Yeah. So.
It's good, isn't it? It's exciting, very exciting. What's 2017 going to do? Father, thank you for Catherine, Lord. Thank you for Thomas, the family. Thank you that they're part of our church here too, Lord, our family. Thank you for this lovely story of healing. Thank you. You are the Lord who heals, Lord. And thank you for the way you've really helped Catherine with this pregnancy, Lord, and particularly touching this hip, Lord. We are so, so grateful to you, Lord. And, Lord, this whole thing of Little Bears has been such an overwhelming story of success and your blessing, of the way you've helped, Lord. Thank you for that faithful team, so many people who come in behind the scenes doing things. Lord, thank you for all the new faces. Thank you for the overwhelming numbers at times, Lord. And we just want to ask you, Lord, please, may everyone that comes one day come to you, Lord. We want this not just to be a baby-minding, happy little fellowship group. We want it to become a group where men and women mainly, but then I know men go as well, and the children, Lord, come to find Jesus, Lord. So will you do that, we pray, Lord. So do bless this time. Thank you for Catherine's leadership. Bless her. Bless the rest of this pregnancy, Lord. We pray for these last months of her pregnancy will be good months. You'll help her through it, Lord, and a good delivery at the end, Lord. And you'll bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Men do come, don't they, sometimes? Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing, you see. There are dads bringing their kids as well. And also lots of Polish people as well, aren't there? And other Eastern Europeans. Great, isn't it? Well, we have one more. We have Peter. Where's Peter? Peter's going to share his testimony. Give him a clap. Give him a cheer.
First of all, thank you all very much for having Jenny and I here. So it's been over a year now, and it's been lovely. We have found a very warm welcome, great, and made lots of new friends. You've all been very helpful, very friendly, and it's been great. Thank you very much. Really, just a quick passage of how God has blessed Jenny and myself. First of all, I'm married to Jenny, and we've been married for a little while now, but I can actually say that Jenny's not just a wife, she's a very good friend. But when we first married, I was in the police force. So the first thing that Jenny suddenly discovered was, I'm not very safe. One evening, I was out on beat duty in Guildford, and Jenny got a knock on the door about 2 a.m, somewhere around that time. And when she eventually got downstairs and opened the door, there was this criminal there with a shotgun saying where was her husband. He'd come to shoot me. Now, for poor Jenny, she managed to talk him out of coming into the house and getting him away. Rang our station, which she had to get across to the phone box to do that. Had to ring the station and told my station officer, who then told me. By the time we got to my home, the bloke had gone with his shotgun. We really did thank the Lord that he protected Jenny at that time. As it happened a few weeks later, the chap was found dead on a train to the West Country. But he was a very dangerous man. But God protected us. So poor Jenny's initiation, marrying a policeman, was not too good. Sorry, I've just put my glasses on so I can actually read my notes. What the optometrist said, when you reach 40, expect your eyes to go. Then when I left the police force, we came back to Bognor. We definitely felt the Lord say, leave the police and leave Guildford. Well, when we did that, we left our police house and we had nowhere to go. We didn't know where God wanted us. But God actually did lead us, and we came back down to Chittister and into Bognor. And I ended up getting a job at a tool shop. You may remember A. Olby & Son at Hawthorne Road. And I ended up being tool shop manager within a few months because the tool shop manager there was very seriously ill. And so I was drafted in very, very quickly. God watched over me. One particular incident where God really watched over me there was we had an open evening, a demonstration evening. Now, I just got used to demonstrating small power tools. But this evening, we were having some demonstration from a woodworking company as well. So those machines were in the thousands. Well, things went very, very well. God really blessed. And I eventually sold, verbally to a chap, a £3,000 bandsaw, which stood taller than this room. Now, in those days, that was huge. And I found it awe-inspiring, really, just to have sold this. Anyhow, 6 weeks down the road, it was delivered to our company, Olby's. Huge, great thing. So we wanted to transfer it straight immediately to our lorry and down to the customer. I rang the customer up, and the customer said, oh, no, I cancelled it. I sent you a letter. I said, well, I didn't get the letter, and I checked with my company, and they hadn't received a letter. I rang him back and said, no. He said, well, I'm sorry, but I've got another one. I don't need that one, and I'm not having it. So I then told my governor, Mr. Olby Sr. He just looked at me, and he just said, oh, I know you've got answers. I know you can get round it. I just trust you, and you can just trust the Lord. He knew we prayed, and he's a Christian. So, oh, okay. So I prayed about it. The next day I prayed with Jenny. I got sort of one of those inspirations, and I rang a customer who I thought might just want it, rang him up, and I said, look, I can do a special deal with this big bandsaw that we've got delivered. I told him the whole truth. And he said, well, deliver it at the end of next week for it, if you like. And he paid the money. So escape number one on that one. So that was really brilliant. I then went on to several other companies, builders merchants. And believe it or not, although I didn't stay very long in those because I kept changing my job, one better step than the next step, I actually found out a few weeks ago that I'm getting a pension from them. So how God leads in mysterious... I never knew that the money I'd put in then was actually going to grow in that particular pension pot that they had saved, and that they would one day be paying me. So that was... I then went on to another builder's merchant where I became the rep, which wasn't. The only reason why I became a rep was because they couldn't bear to see me cycling from Bognor to Arundel in the rain, and ending up there 7 o'clock in the morning, actually bedraggled. So when their rep left, they said, "Peter, we'd like you to take over the rep." I'd never been a rep before. And so I ended up with a Ford Capri and driving all around the Sussex. No, that was West Sussex, East Sussex, on this Capri. Wonderful cars, Capris. They go really fast. however, whilst I was there, we were in the recession at that time, and it was a family business. So it got very, very difficult. You know, tempers were frayed, and people were having to be made redundant. Very, very difficult. But God was watching over me, and I was able to still get orders from customers that we never even dreamt or heard of, all over the place, a long way away, some of them. Once or twice I had to even go into Oxfordshire to collect checks. And that was my other job, was if I sold the stuff, I was responsible for getting the money back in a month later. And sometimes it would be £2,000, £3,000, and in some cases £10,000. And that was down to me. If I didn't get it, I was in trouble. But God wonderfully looked after me in that area too. Then I went to the two Christian bookshops here in Bognor. And Jenny and I saw wonderful increase in people coming in and wanting to read Christian books. Now, we love reading Christian books, which is why we've got quite a lot at home at the moment. But we love books. And so we were able to, when our customers came in, some of them with problems and whatever, we were actually able to tell them what book we felt would help them to get through the problems, to find out how God was leading them through this difficult crisis. And the customer flow really did grow, and we really enjoyed that. But then we felt God move on from there. And I went to, in the end, work for a company in Guildford. So I had to travel to Guildford every day and back, which was quite a journey. Lots of narrow misses and things. But God watched over us, and we were able to cover the petrol costs and everything. So that was great. But up until this time, I'd always been in employment. But then this job, one of the jobs was, again, having to come into collecting the money from the account customers. Now, because we were part of a big international group, we were heavily under pressure to make sure that everything worked right. We did everything right. At the end of every week, the regional manager would come down and check our computers, that we'd put everything right on the computers, and that the money was coming in, the paint was going out, I was having the right amount of stock on the shelf. Very, very controlled. But the one big thing that everyone had to make sure was that they got the money back in from their credit accounts. And again, God blessed me mightily in that I was always well in the 90% region, which was higher than most other managers could ever get to. Again, God's blessing on that. Unfortunately, the firm went very funny, and at the age of 50 plus, they wanted to get rid of managers. And it was very nasty. And in the end, I had to get a solicitor, and in the end, we had an out-of-court settlement. That was how bad it was. But I'd been employed up until that time. I was about 57, 58, and now I'd lost my employment. But a family we knew very, very well, her husband died. She knew I was out without a job. She said, "Well, do I do her house up for her for the next 3 months, and she would pay me," which she did. And at the end of that, I had so many other people wanting me to do jobs that I became self-employed, and I've done maintenance ever since. And God has mightily blessed and watched over us. So I think of that verse from Lamentations: "His mercies are new every morning. They never fail." Jenny and I have found that to be the case. He has never failed as he's watched over us. And we have found that along with Paul, he put a verse in Acts where he said, the good I would do, I don't seem to be able to do. The bad that I do not want to do, I seem to do. And yet he found God always watched over him. And Jenny and I have found exactly the same. God has always watched over. No matter where we've fallen down, no matter where the circumstances have gone, God has watched over us and kept us. Thank you. Thank you.
Great, isn't it? The faithfulness of God. And what a story, what an up and down story. Father, thank you for the way you've been so faithful to Peter and Jenny. Thank you for bringing them into our church. Thank you. They're part of our family here. And we know now, as Peter's looking towards sort of proper retirement, that you really will bless him. We know he's got a wealth of experience to use for you. And we ask you for Jenny and Peter this new year, that you bless them abundantly. As you've been with them over these years, you will be with them into the years ahead. So bless them, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Peter. Well, just want to sum it up quite quickly. A few things to share with you. Thank you for everyone who shared. It's been so great. All these people have testified to the goodness of God. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus has shone into their lives. Once in darkness outside of Jesus, once in dark situations, now light has shone upon them. And I just want to say thank you each one and praise God for it. And if by any chance you may not know any of that sort of relationship with Jesus, let me just say to you, as we go into 2017, don't go in it alone. Talk to any of these people, talk to us, and we'll help you to know how you can have this deep relationship with Jesus, the light of that glorious gospel shining into your lives. I want to leave with you just two thoughts as we go into 2017. One is from John 4. We know the story well, I'm sure, the healing of the royal official's son. These verses have been with us for a lot of time now. And Molly and I took it to India with us, and wherever we spoke from John 4. We tried to share these things, and it's so real to us. Let me tell you the story. This royal official who had everything going for him, he probably had status, money, influence, power, but there was something desperately wrong. John 4 says his son was dying, desperately sick. All that he had could not help him, could not sort it out. But he'd heard about Jesus. Jesus healed people. He raised the dead. He brought light into darkness. And so he came up to Jesus and said to Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come home and pray for my son and heal him. He's dying. And Jesus turned and said, go, your son will be well. Now, let me just ask you, how would you have reacted to that? Would you have been a bit like me? No, no, come with me. You've got to come with me to pray for my son. It says in the Bible, the man took Jesus at his word, went home, and on the way home, the friends came, the servants came and said, your son is well. When did it happen, he said. And the people said, such and such a time. And it was the exact time that Jesus said to them, your son is well, go home. Now that story stuck with me. It was particularly that phrase, the man took Jesus at his word. He had nothing to go on. His son was dying. He was a man of influence and all sorts of things. He got what he wanted, no doubt. And Jesus just said, go home. Your son will be healed. And that challenged me. And it stuck with me over these months now. Do we take Jesus at his word like that? And I want to leave that challenge to us as we go into 2017. Let's be known as the people who take Jesus at his word. Not just those who say, yeah, we're a Bible-based church. We believe the Bible. We read it. But do we actually take Jesus at his word? Believe it. Do it. Follow it. Over Christmas, I'm sure we've had some great meals. I'm sure we have. Look at my weight I've been put on. And, you know, do you like those great feasts that you have on the table? Or do you like those buffet type of meals? You know, when you can go with your empty plate and you see all the things you like and the things you don't like, but you just take the things you like and you pile your plate on. And no one knows how much you're taking because you scoff it down and you go and get a bit more, you know. And, buffet meals are brilliant because you can pick and choose. Let me ask you, are you a buffet Christian? Pick and choose. I don't like this bit of the Bible. I won't believe that bit. And you know, some Christians go through the Bible picking and choosing. This man took Jesus at his word. And I want to challenge us this year, as I'm challenging myself this year. Let's take Jesus at his word. Not be buffet Christians, but take everything. everything that Jesus says, to live by it, believe it, and see it done. This man, it says, he and his family believed in Jesus, had seen Jesus do some amazing things as he took Jesus at his faith and went home. Molly and I have been reading over the Christmas story this Christmas period. We like to refresh ourselves in it. When Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth prophesied over Mary about the baby that she was going to carry, how blessed she was, how special her baby Jesus was going to be. And she declared, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her and will be accomplished." Elizabeth said to Mary, prayed over Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that which the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." You know, there's a blessing to those who believe and take hold of God's word. Can I say that again? Blessed are we as we take hold of Jesus' word, as we take Jesus at his word and believe what Jesus said. That's the first thing I want to leave with us. Let's be those that take Jesus at his word. The second thing, as we read over this Christmas story, we read in Luke 1 how Elizabeth and Zechariah had longed for a child. That was Elizabeth and Zechariah, an older couple, longed for a child. And finally, John the Baptist was born to them. That was Jesus' second cousin. And John the Baptist had a special job. If you read the story in Luke 1, he was to prepare the way of the Lord, announce the coming of Jesus, who was going to be the light of the world. And there's a few verses that really stuck with me as we read it through, that John the Baptist was to go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. That was what John the Baptist came for, to prepare the way for Jesus and to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death. You know, and that stuck with me again. And I believe that's the second thing God wants to challenge us with in this new year. Yet, firstly, to be those who take Jesus at his word in all its truth, to live by it, to believe it, to follow it, and to teach it. But also to be those who will shine on those living in darkness. And we've talked about that. Those living in darkness have seen a great light.